We are in a series that we're calling Crossing Over into Kingdom Living. And if you were here last week, we talked about the passage on salt and light. So we're going to be over the next, today's number two in an eight-part series. There are eight stories, eight little teachings that Jesus had in Matthew chapter 5 after the Beatitudes. And because you've all heard 20 sermons on the Beatitudes, we're going to skip them. And we're starting with the after parts. And the first one we looked at last week was salt and light. And the key verse is that little verse that says that our light is supposed to shine and that people may see our good deeds. And how many of you were here last week and remember what the word good deeds means? Remember that word? Okay, so three of you were listening to me last week. Either that or we're all new people today. Good deeds is not talking about good things that you do occasionally that people go, oh, you're a generous person. Why are you a generous person? Oh, I'm a follower of Jesus. No. That word is the word your lifestyle at your workplace. That's the word. Your good actions, your good works at your workplace and in the environment that you're living, that's where people are supposed to be seeing that you are living a different way. That's what Jesus was talking about. Well, the very next passage is starting at It's starting at verse 17. And if you have your Bible, we're going to read it. If not, we've got it on the screen, and so you're able to read it with me. It says this. Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Jesus is looking back at the Old Testament and all of the laws, all the commandments, all the stuff that happened in the Old Testament. All those things, he said, I'm here to bring new meaning. They're going to have fulfillment now. You're going to understand the Old Testament now because I've been here. And so this is the statement he's making. He says, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear or finish, wrap up, not the smallest letter, not the smallest stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law, the Old Testament, until everything is accomplished. And anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." How many want to be called great? So that means all the passages, all the commands, we're supposed to be living those. And then he says this. This is a little bit of a hard teaching. He says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, you need to understand, right, that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were the most upright citizens of Jesus' day. So, in our culture, when you talk about a person being a Pharisee, you're quite often talking about a person who says one thing and does another thing. Well, the Pharisees, it was the religious spirit that Jesus was convicting them of. All the reason they were doing things wasn't always right. But these men and women absolutely followed the Old Testament law. They were the shining examples of people who were godly. And Jesus is saying you have to go way past the actions and also get the heart of what God was saying, because Jesus kept rebuking the Pharisees for missing the heart of it. And so these passages that we're going to be looking at, for example, in 3 weeks from now when we have the next talk, I think Andrew and Sarah Gazzaneo are going to give the talk where Jesus talks about, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I tell you, don't be angry. And so Jesus is taking the laws that were given in the Old Testament and bringing them up to date and saying, this is really what my daddy meant. And so when we look at these passages, we begin to understand that everything in the Old Testament has its place and there's heart behind it. And a lot of times we just look at it as laws, as rules, as regulations, and miss the heart. So how do these two passages, how does the Old Testament and the New Testament relate together? And the word testament, how many of you have written a will? Okay. If you got kids, if you're married, you probably need to be writing a will. But when you write your will, it's called your testament. Did you know that? Go like this. It's called your testament. So there's a number of different views that people have about the Old Testament. And there definitely are people that feel that the Old Testament has no relevance at all today. Most Christian groups would say that that is just an absolutely wrong view, and in history, those people have been called heretics. There is a big branch of the evangelical church that would say that the Old Testament really has very little merit today. It's good for examples, it's good for stories, but we don't follow the Old Testament. In fact, I have one of my family members that so much believes that this theory is that the only passages of the Bible that they follow today are the teachings of Paul. because they would say that the time that Jesus came and what Jesus was saying was for that section of time, and the things before Jesus were for people at that time. And with dispensationalists, what that word means is they have divided time into different time periods, different dispensations. And the only things that are relevant for us today are the teachings of Paul and Peter and John, I would say. And they would say nothing in the book of Revelation is valid because that's the very last part. And so there are definitely people that would say the Old Testament is irrelevant. You don't really need to worry about that. This church, plus most Christian churches, would actually say, no, 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 no. The Old Testament is the heart of God. And what happened is the New Testament, when Jesus comes along and begins to talk about the heart things, when Peter, Paul, John, the other writers begin to come, they begin to develop the teachings, the theory, not the theory, the content of what God had. And so it's not changed at all. It's been added to, as it were. It's being explained in a far better way. So let's ask a few questions. Let's skip that. Sacrifices. How many of you brought a sheep this morning for your sacrifice? Anyone? But a dove, a cow? Why don't we do that? It's clearly in the Bible, isn't it? It's in the Old Testament. Why didn't we have Pastor Darren up here this morning butchering animals off to the side, blood all over the place? When he was laying hands on people, he would have been sprinkling you with blood. How come we didn't do that this morning? Because the New Testament says, actually, that's a picture of what Jesus did on the cross. Do you understand what we're talking about? So the Old Testament is the heart of the Father, and now the New Testament clarifies it. And so there's a verse in Hebrews that says, Jesus is the mediator of our new covenant, our New Testament, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. What about food? How many of you like to eat shrimp, lobster, pork, ribs, barbecued ribs? Hands up. Do you folks not eat? Well, why? Clearly the teaching of the Old Testament was no lobster, no pork, no shrimp, no bottom dwellers. So why do we get to eat those things today? Or are we allowed to eat those things today? And the answer is yes, we are allowed to eat those things because Jesus clarified and he said, actually, all things are made clean now. And the neat part about that is that ladies, you weren't allowed to do things in the Old Testament. Everyone who's not a Jew, hands up, not a Jew. That's almost all of us. We were unclean. And so all of a sudden, we're now we're grafted in, we're part of the body of Christ. However, there are definitely passages like the one in Romans that says we need to be careful about what we eat. In fact, Paul says that everything's lawful for you now, however, not everything's beneficial for you. And so if you gorge yourself with shrimp and lobster, you're probably going to have high cholesterol. Yes? So the scripture is very, very clear on those kind of things. So what about stoning homosexuals? In the Old Testament, that's what happened, wasn't it? If you were caught in a sexual relationship that was not with another lady, in fact, if you were caught in any kind of sexual relationship outside of your wife or husband, you were stoned. So do we follow those rules today? There are some nations that still do. But why don't we? It's because the teaching of the New Testament clarifies the law. And I don't know if you figured this one out, but in the book of Romans, Paul says this. Because of this, God gave them over, talking about people who are living in a homosexual lifestyle. It's not on the screen? Yeah, it is. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And in the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with each other and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Do you see what the New Testament says? Instead of punishing by death, now the penalty is in your own body is the penalty. And so when we talk about sexually transmitted disease and AIDS and things like that, this would appear to be what Paul is talking about. The punishment changed in that now your physical body is going to pay the price for you being involved in those kind of sins. And so the New Testament clarifies some of the Old Testament things. So here's the overriding principle that you need to sort of get this morning. And my apologies for talking quickly and going quick. We don't have that much time this morning. But the overriding principle is this, that the Old Testament rules are valid. Every one of them is valid unless the New Testament clarifies it, changes it, adapts it. So if the Old Testament rules are not talked about in the New Testament, do we follow the Old Testament? Go like this. Yes, we do. So the New Testament was going to clarify. So for example, in the Old Testament, there's a lot of laws about the Sabbath regulations, what you can do, what you can't do. And if you remember in Mark chapter 1, one of the passages talks about Jesus' first healing meeting where he was in a synagogue and on a Saturday morning, it would appear, and he commanded a demon to get out of a guy who just jumped up in the meeting and said, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And Jesus said to the person, more specifically to the spirit in him, "Shut up and get out." And the guy falls to the ground. Everyone's in shock. They go, "We've never seen anything like this. This guy's got authority." And the Bible goes on to say, that passage says, lunchtime, Jesus went to Simon Peter's house, ministered to his mother, healed her. Then when evening came, very interesting when it says when sundown happened, because now the Sabbath is over at sundown. Everybody in the whole town brought their demonized people to Peter's house for Jesus to minister to them. They were bound by Sabbath regulations. And it wasn't that God had intended these kind of things, but man-made laws begin to kick in that you could only walk so far. And you were not allowed to push grandma in a wheelchair to Peter's house because that was considered work. And so the Jewish people had come up with all these lists of man-made rules, and Jesus, when he's coming, going, "Guys, you've missed it. You have missed it." And so he began to clarify, for example, what the Sabbath regulations meant. So that's the principle that we're operating on. So, let me ask you a question. Are you allowed to have sex with animals? Why do you say no? It's in the Old Testament. It says no. Does the New Testament have a passage that changes that rule? Anybody know of one? I don't know of one. So what does that mean? You're not allowed to have sex with animals. So if you take some of the other theories and look at them, because one of the challenges is, how do we be consistent on interpreting the Bible? And so if you're looking for things that are in the Old Testament that are commented on the New Testament, and we say, okay, that's the new way, it also means that things that were not commented on, that's the way we practice. And so you are not allowed to have sex with animals. You're not even allowed to think about it, people. So what about tithing? Was that an Old Testament thing? Yes, it was. Was it changed? Can you think of any writer in the New Testament that said, tithing is over? We don't do that anymore. There aren't any. In fact, Jesus affirms tithing, and in the book of Hebrews, it says that when we're giving our tithes and offerings, we're now giving them to Jesus. And so this law is not overridden. In fact, most of the teaching in the New Testament on giving is not about your tithe, it's about your offerings. It's about being a blessing to other people. It's being extravagant, those kind of things. So we have this principle that happens all the way through the scripture, is that things that were bad in the Old Testament are not now good. Do you understand that? If it was bad in the Old Testament, just because it was Old Testament, is it now good? So you're allowed to murder people, yes? No. No, you're not. And what about conversely, good things in the Old Testament, are they all now bad? No. So the two of them work together, and the overriding principle is that when the scriptures talk about something, you need to look to the New Testament to see if there's a clarifying passage. And when Jesus talked about his big point then was your righteousness, the way that you live needs to be better than the people who live by every point of the law. Your actions, my actions. The way that we live needs to be outstanding, and Jesus goes on in other passages to say, you need to understand the rules, not just the rules, but the heart. And the heart of Jesus, the heart that Jesus talked about was his Father's heart. He didn't have his own agenda, did he? Everything that Jesus did, his business card did not say, Jesus Christ, Son of God Ministries. His business card said something like this, doing my daddy's job. That's what it was about. He didn't do his own stuff. He did things on behalf of his Father. And Jesus was constantly telling people, if you like me, you'll love my dad. You'll love my dad. My dad is compassionate. He cares for the sick. He cares for the poor. He cares for the disadvantaged. He cares for those that have addictions and hard challenges and difficulties. That's who he's for. He's not there to make life harder for you. He's there to help you. And so most of us have grown up. In fact, the silly thing is that most of us like the teaching of the New Testament better than we like the teaching of the Old Testament. Would that be correct? New Testament, mercy, grace. But how do most of us live? Unfortunately, most of us still actually live by practicing law. And we want justice, don't we? We want mercy for us, but we want justice for the people who hurt us and do things against us. And this is what Jesus was dealing with, was a culture that was all about the rules and missed the heart. And so the good news about Jesus is he's wanting to make that transformation for you and for me. And he says your righteousness, the good things that you do, not just need to be good, but they need to have the heart of it. So for example, the Bible says that Jesus commented about the Pharisees that they would tithe even to the extent of taking the herbs that were growing in their garden and would count out the mustard seeds and the dill. So I have in my backyard, Sandra and I have three pots of parsley, basil, something else, something green. A few years ago, we planted mint in one back corner, and mint's now everywhere. It's in the lawn even. Anyone ever planted mint? Don't do that. It just it likes to breed. So we do have mint showing up in geraniums and other places like that. But what they would do was they would take the mint leaves, and mint leaves are good size. They would take the mint leaves, the Pharisees, and follow the Old Testament law, would count out all the mint leaves that they had, and put one aside and take that bag of mint leaves and give it to the priests as their tithe. They lived like that. They were to the point, and yet even to the point of getting everything right, they missed it. They missed the heart of our Father, which is to set people free and not bring burdens on people. The heart of our Father is that we know his love for us, his extravagant love for us. And there's lots of things that are right to do, and we don't have time to get into those kind of all the reasons for that, but I'm just here to tell you that the right thing is always the right thing to do. And God wants to bless those of us who do the right thing and have the right heart and the right attitude.